Let's join Pastor Roger for this inspiring message.
Today I want us to talk about finding God's love. Finding God's love within the pages. Would you say that with me? Finding God's love within the pages. I was little and I was sitting around this campfire. It was you know how you get when you're, it was evening and the adults were going to bring s'mores out. And I was like, oh boy, it's getting ready for a little bit of heaven, you know. And I got the marshmallows on the end of the little stick there. And I was just ready, you know, just ready for a wonderful time. And then I heard a crackle in the fire. It went like that. Anybody heard? You're in out inside. Well, right after the little crackle, there was this singeing on my skin. Anybody ever had a spark jump out? In a moment, I had this beautiful experience turn into massive annoyance. Have you ever had that happen to you? Or maybe you're at home and something jumps out and you look over there and the rug is smoldering. You know, oh my gosh. Oh, we got to put the screen up, you know. So sometimes there's a... I think Job might have been sitting around a fire one day because... In the Bible, because he says something to us, he probably was sitting around the fire, had the same thing happen. A spark just jumped and singed him, probably. Something happened like this, because it says in Job 5, verse 7. Read it with me. Yet man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Look at that for a moment. Born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Now, there's something in this that you and I open up our heart for a nice, wonderful time, and suddenly something happens that we didn't want to happen. Is that kind of common and normal to human experience to say? See, that here you are, you've made yourself available to a loving, warm moment, and you get burned. Okay, does that make sense? How many people in our culture open up their heart, and then suddenly the sparks fly upward and trouble is happening and there's pain and agitation and annoyance. And I started thinking about why in the world, you know, why is that? Why? What's the deal on this? Why is it like that? I think Job is telling us, you know, right in the middle of your pleasant time, you're going to get jolted by something. And I want to look in the Bible and I just see something in the Bible here. In the Bible, there's this, you know, have you noticed there are certain passages that just... If you read by them pretty quick, you miss everything. But if you slow down, there's a gold nugget sitting right on the ground. This is one of those gold nuggets sitting right on the ground. Genesis 5, 1 through 3. I want you to read this aloud with me and look at it closely. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Now let's stop there a minute and just peer at somebody next to you and just look at them and say, Okay, let's see what we got going here. Okay, verse 2, read. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. Okay, so we buy that, okay. But let's look at verse 3 now and read it slowly and look at it. And Adam lived 130 years, and he begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Oh, so what happened here? God created male and female in his likeness, but then Adam falls from God's relationship with God, and now he's in the dark, and now he has a son after his likeness, and he has sparks that fly upward, and he is trouble, and we are his descendants. Are we not? And everybody said, yes, that's true. So what happened in this verse? Paul talks about it in 11 verses in the book of Romans. I want to walk through this with you. I'm going to read it, Romans chapter 5. There's 11 verses here. It's in the New Living Translation. It says, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because Our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. That's the good news. Here's number 12, verse 12. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. If you're new in the faith, there's your answer. We're all sons of Adam. And since Adam sinned, it brought death into the race, and now we're the descendants of Adam. And so we're under that likeness, that image, okay? Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ, who was yet to come, but there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of the one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to, everybody say, condemnation. But God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. And for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin. Just elbow somebody and say, that's the promise there, baby. Just come ahead and tell them, smile at them, say triumph over sins for you and me. And sin and death, what sin causes, through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everything, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. Praise the Lord. How many of you have been out there in the sin land and you realize abundant grace was what you needed and you got back, hallelujah, because God hunted you down and loved you and sought you out. Praise God, hallelujah. Here I am, glory, glory, glory. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And because of his taking on our sin, he's the guilt offering. Because he's taken that on, now we can have the burden of sin, the burden of our waywardness lifted from us, the guilt, the condemnation, all that can be removed from the human heart. We can open up to this new and living way in Christ Jesus and find joy that we didn't have before because we were under the image and likeness of fallen man, contrary to God, contrary to his way of thinking, contrary. And how many of you know you live kind of sometimes that crops up? Okay, a whole lot. We'll get into that a little bit. So just as sin ruled over all the people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So everybody was first made in God's image, and we fell from this dynamic love and glory that we were in with Christ, and now we're in the likeness of sinful Adam. And this is the place where the great love story of the Bible. You know how you watch a movie and maybe it's a fairy tale and there's the biting of the apple and the falling asleep and the princess is asleep or something. And there's a handsome prince that comes, has to slay a dragon. And there's, they're all, and you go, and there's some movies where there's the healing of the wound of a father, you know, all these types of symbols. And these movies are great because they're actual taking the dynamic pictures from the Bible and putting them in story form. You know what I'm saying? They're just telling the gospel over and over, but they're in different movies. They're taking aspects. The stuff, I guarantee this, the movies you love the greatest are actually reinterpretations of the gospel. Because you and I were made to respond to the truth. And that happens. How many of you, Jesus slayed the dragon for you? See, I'm a guy, but I'm the bride of Christ. And he's come to rescue me. And this is how he did it. Philippians 2, 6 through 11 says in the New Living Translation. And I want to read a line or two, and then I want you to say, that's my Jesus. Okay, so give me some help up in here. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. That's my Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Hallelujah. Therefore, God has elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Just like a man in a white suit would go down into a West Virginia coal mine and not get one speck of dirt on it, work among the people all day long and not get one speck of dirt on his white suit and come out. That's what Jesus did. Except for the last moment on the cross, when all the dirt in the coal mine was put on him. All the dirt of the universe. And he was on the cross, crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And poured out anguish over becoming the sin offering, the guilt offering. And the power of sin is broken over every person who believes in his name. And there's something of the rule of God that enters into the heart that opens up to the completed work of Jesus. That's who we are. We're the redeemed. Does it make us perfect? In his sight, according to his record of washing away, putting his sinless record on ours. Let's look at Titus 3:3-7. I'll get into some images here. I tell you what, just go ahead and declare this aloud with me as well. Once we too were foolish and disobedient, we were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. Verse 4. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Tell the person next to you, salvation is the starting place. And God is calling us. His love is discovered when we begin to open up to him as babies. When we come, you're born as a baby, born again as a baby. You open up to this truth, and he calls you to grow on up into childhood and grow up into manhood or in Christ. It's kind of like this, though. Let's say you have a piece of exquisite, ornate antique furniture made in the 1800s. You got this incredible, incredible, beautiful, ornate piece of furniture, but it's been painted over. And many different colors have been painted over it. Have you ever seen a piece of furniture where the original beautiful finish is not there because somebody slapped paint on it? So let's say it's painted over with a coat of Darwinism, and the color of doubt is hiding the original divine radiance of this wonderful fine finish, okay? And let's say some time goes by and there's another coat of humanism. And the humanism is painted over it. And you got that coat. And that says that life revolves around me and God for all intents and purposes has no place, right? So that's the color of it. Can you see how the original design has been painted over from culture to culture? Let's say the next coat is secularism. And it's got that thick coat on it. And, of course, that's a sensual color. Seeks to appeal to the erotic nature of those looking on it. So now you got this thing and Jesus is a carpenter, probably a refinisher. Have you ever tried to scoop that stuff off? The stripping away of the thought processes that we've gone through as a people over the centuries, and we end up so far away from God with all this confusion, and God says, I've got to get some of this off so we can get down to the image of Jesus. Isn't that true? How many of you had some ouch, ooey, ooh, ah? Oh, you don't believe that? Oh, Lord, help me. Well, I knew you were in there somewhere. It's kind of like that quote, The sculptor produces the beautiful statue by, let me say, chipping away such parts of the marble block as are not needed. It is called the process of elimination. Have you ever had the Lord chipping away at something? Doesn't that hurt? The Lord says, well, you don't just look exactly like Jesus just yet. Chip, chip, chip. Chip, chip, chip. And then he goes to an area of your life and you go, hey, that really hurts. Who said you could do that? Well, didn't you say that you wanted to grow up in all things and become mine? Yeah, but golly, not through this. I've discovered in my life that the more he's worked on it, the more he's worked on me, and sometimes God uses your marriage like, here's some sandpaper, honey. I'm it. How many of you? Oh, huh. This refining is tormenting. Right? He's working on you. You're going through this. And I have found that I love the Lord more and more and more because I become more like the Lord. And I think it's worth it. I believe it's worth it. And those that live with you, they think it's worth it too. There's a bomb. The bomb of truth has exploded in the room, hasn't it? This reminds me of this lady, this man. Man was going to the county fair one day, had a pig under one arm, a chicken under the other, and had a basket on his head. And he came to a crossroads and didn't know which way to turn. And while he stood there deciding, a young woman approached him, heading in the same direction. I says, please, ma'am, I'm on my way to the county fair. Can you tell me which way to go? I says, yes, I'm on my way there too. We'll go right down this way for about a mile, and then for about a mile, we'll turn left and head that way for about a mile and a half, and then we turn left again and about another mile, and we'll be there. He says, wait a minute. Down here, turn left and turn left again. Could we save a lot of time by walking through these woods? Yes, we could, but I couldn't walk through these woods with you. Why, you might try to kiss me. Listen, how could I possibly kiss anybody with a pig under one arm and a chicken under one arm and a basket on my head? Well, you could put that chicken on the ground and put the basket upside down and cover that chicken, and I could hold that little pig for you. I thought this really fit the message, but I can't figure out how now. Except falling in love with the Lord. I want to share three little scriptures that have to do with the tender heart of God that we fall in love with. Exodus 19:4. This is an incredible scripture that shows the tenderness of God's heart. Because all of us were under the bondage of sin in Egypt. And the Lord says to his precious people, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. Remember the story when Moses stood at the Red Sea and the water swallowed up the Egyptians there. It says, you've seen what I've done to them, but look at this next precious. And how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. What a beautiful picture of the rescuing of God's people. Where you couldn't carry yourself, but I bore you over here myself. Hallelujah. there's love portrayed in the rescuing of God's people from their adversary. God is motivated to cause us to come out of places that are difficult for us and to bring us to places, even when your mentality, because, you know, it was a long time. You could take the Israelite out of Egypt, but it was hard to get Egypt out of the Israelite. And we're the same. In fact, another precious scripture, and this is years and years later, the people of God had already entered their promised land and yet fell prey to the false gods of the region. And instead of walking with the Lord as his own people, they began to open up to the travesty of these detestable practices that were there before. And here's a beautiful picture. In the midst of a people who are not walking with the Lord, he still speaks in these terms. By the way, the judgments of the Lord are spoken, and when they're spoken, there's a principle in operation. And the principle is simply this: you reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap everlasting life. And the Lord wants people to turn around. And so he speaks in deep, tender terms to cause people to awaken in the midst of their blindness and hardness of heart. He comes and he says things like this. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. I don't think a big, angry God talks like that. In fact, the only time that you feel the anger of the Lord being spoken is because it's a scorned lover's pain. Because he had a covenant to walk with the people, and the people turned to whoring and sensuality and burning their children in fire sacrifices to a demon god, when he had great plans for this relationship. And even today, men and women caught up in the spirit of the world lose their children into the devouring fires of the adversary. They may not die physically, but they get burned up spiritually. And the Lord has tender things to work and bring into our life to help restore us. Isn't that true? Let's look at this other one, Zephaniah 3:17. In the middle of deep depravity and brokenness of the nation, people living a life where they're captive to sin, the Lord speaks and says in Zephaniah, the Lord your God is in your midst. People far away from him, far away from him, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. How many of you have felt that before? He will rejoice over you with singing. Let's set everything aside for a moment. I don't know if you know the Lord. You may have walked with the Lord, may not. Jesus is a person who came to pour out his life. No greater love is this than a man give his life for his friends. And he came and he gave his life in exchange that we would be, in his essence, wooed back to the love that was originally intended when he made us in his likeness and image. Would redeem us back. I want you to know that if you have not opened up your heart to the Lord for the first time, that today you can do that. If you have never said, Jesus, I want you in my life, then you can do that. How? Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want to ask if each of us, just for a moment, could close our eyes. Let's go ahead, close our eyes and just lift your heads. And I wanted everybody in the room to have a courtesy of privacy, just to be a private moment, just nobody looking around, nobody's staring or nothing. And this is between you and the Lord, and I'll be like a point of contact. If you are saying in your heart, you know, Pastor, I felt something pulling on my heart, and I think what you're talking about, Jesus wants me, and I want him, and I want to do what you're talking about. I want him in my life. If that's you today, and you'd say, I want to come to know him, then I want to ask, nobody's looking, I want to ask that you just lift your head and look at me and let our eyes meet, and I'll agree with you that today that connection with you and Jesus is happening. That's a simple thing. Simple thing. I know a lot of folks walk with the Lord and just trying to find their way. And is that why you're looking at me today? Is that why you're looking at me? You're saying, yes, you want to receive the Lord today? I agree with you. Both of you? Go ahead and say, me, honey, and me, honey. Go ahead. Wow. I just felt a joy jump in my spirit from the Lord for you guys. There's a... Just lift your hearts to him right now. Just everybody pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying for me. Today, I receive you. I thank you for taking all of the burden of my sin, my failures, and washing them away by the power of your blood. Right now, I receive what you have declared, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I belong to you. Now let's praise him together, church. Let's go ahead and thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Angels are rejoicing and we rejoice. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's one other thing I sensed, and that was that if you this is kind of an interesting thought, but I feel like if you've struggled with walking with the Lord and have just been in a place of confusion about that, and you believe something's clearing up in his presence today, and you want to say, I want to go further with the Lord working in my life. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Just go ahead and lift your... You're saying that? Say, something's cleared up today. Is it the same with you? Just go ahead and... Anybody else? You? Let's just agree. Let's lift your hand. Listen, I want to invite everybody. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Let's pray this together. Say, Father God, I thank you for cleansing away the clutter and confusion that the adversary has brought against my life, that my own decisions have brought against my life. I ask you now, with the work of your Holy Spirit, to help my heart walk with you. It is my choice to make wise decisions, and I rise up with a heart of faith. I feed on your faithfulness, Jesus. I thank you that you're with me, and it is my choice to walk unencumbered in your presence. Let's go ahead and stand together. Hallelujah.
Love, the fountainhead of love, is Father God.
Thanks for listening, and make sure to check out our website at rogerthrower.com. There you'll find more podcasts, videos, music, devotional messages, lead sheets, and other worship resources. May the Lord richly bless your life and fill you with new hope.
Transcending in glory, he's written the story with me in mind. He planned my conception and in my